Hello, we are in the field again this week for the MTOM podcast. I'm Paul Yeager. Today we are in Pella, Iowa at Vermeer Company headquarters. And Vermeer, strong history in agriculture, has now shifted more towards the construction industry. There are products being made over my left and right shoulders, and this is a facility that has had to deal with many issues that almost every other manufacturing company in the country and in the world have had to deal with. We're talking supply issues and labor issues. Today we are talking to the CEO of the company, Jason Andringa. He's the third generation of his family to run this company, and to run the company and be in leadership, you have to do something. We'll get into that about where else Jason has worked. And it's an exciting place that many young scientists have dreamed about working someday. Today, our discussion will heavily center on labor issues, but we're going to start with some of the history and one that involves his grandfather and a helicopter and plane. As always, if you do like the work that we are doing, hit subscribe or follow this podcast if you're watching it on YouTube. Or if you're listening, follow is the new trend, I hear. If you have any feedback for me, it's paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. Now, our conversation with Jason Andringa. How old were you when you knew all the buildings and all the secret doors out here?
I feel like with time, I've gradually kind of found my way most places. But it is interesting, I have a really strong mental image of pretty much all of our plants, and I could draw them out. And it's interesting, having lost two of the plants in the tornado, that I still have very strong mental images of what the inside of both those plants were.
Do you have stronger memories as a child coming out here when mom's working, or more of a now that I'm working and in charge?
Combination of both. My grandparents' house is right across the street, and I still have very strong memories of riding my bike. It wasn't very busy then. There was no security, and riding my bike from my grandparents' house, you know, past the farm fields in between their house and Vermeer, and riding my bike around Vermeer. Now the, you know, Vermeer campus goes right up to across the street from their house, but I still have, you know, very distinct memories even from childhood.
Well, we're in the museum portion of the facility, and this is a piece that, speaking of your grandparents, mm-hmm. that maybe Grandpa knew about. A lot of these pieces were things that he started and your family members. What's the neat part of the museum for you?
I like all the parts of the museum. I definitely appreciate the family history. I appreciate the history of a number of our pieces of equipment. You know, the history of Vermeer is really interesting. My grandfather simply built a mechanical wagon hoist for his own use. His neighbor saw it and said, hey, would you build one of those for me? And pretty soon he had enough demand that he needed to hire a person. And that was literally the start of Vermeer. And almost immediately, the mechanical wagon hoist was rendered obsolete by hydraulic wagon hoists. But immediately he was already moving on to other needs on the farm. And really, you can trace Vermeer's entire history, product history, back to agriculture to solve problems that were on the farm. And now the majority of our business is what we call the industrial side of the business as opposed to the ag side. But you can trace every one of our products back to kind of a farm-related need.
Did that evolution happen for a reason, or did it just happen? Because that's a big structure change, I would imagine. I mean, not in the sense of we're still building and designing, but you're making different products in different markets. How did that pivot happen, and when was it?
I would say it was an evolution. It wasn't something that was planned on. So, for instance, to use tiling trenchers to put in drainage tile for low-lying farm fields, that is why Vermeer initially got into building trenchers, was to put in drainage tile for low-lying farm fields. My grandfather actually had a lot of that farmland. And they realized with time that most of the initial demand to put in drainage tiles was satisfied fairly quickly. And then there was all this other infrastructure to put underground, water infrastructure. And now as you look at it most recently, clearly the boom for putting in telecommunications infrastructure, fiber optic, and there's more and more now electrical infrastructure that's being put underground. So it's kind of like the initial driver was drainage tile, but just by the nature of markets changing and morphing with time, it ended up becoming, you know, much more driven by these other infrastructure drivers.
Your family has a strong history with the company and their involvement. I was asking you before we rolled about if this confirmed a story about your grandfather. I had heard that he would fly in his helicopter, land next to a piece of equipment, jump into the trench, and someone would go, "Who is that?" "Well, that's the boss who runs Vermeer. That's him. That's Vermeer." Is that a true story?
Definitely a true story. You know, we talk about how taking care of our customers, servicing our customers' needs is incredibly important to Vermeer, and you can trace it back to the founder of the company, the inventor of the machine, the person who probably knows the machine better than anyone, would literally get in a small Piper Cub airplane or a helicopter and would land next to the machine and service it himself. So that is kind of the original heritage of our level of service, is to provide that type of service from our customers. So those stories are legendary at Vermeer and actually true. Maybe they've been embellished a little bit, but actually fundamentally true.
You fly.
Yes.
But do you fly and land next to a piece of equipment now?
No. You know, you can talk about the fact that my grandfather would do that in a Super Cub, an airplane that lands really slow, and he would land on a gravel road next to a machine. And, you know, frankly, there just probably isn't any place anymore where you could feel safe enough to do that. But back in the 50s and 60s, my grandfather felt that you could do that.
Family-wise, so grandfather to mother,
yep,
was CEO. There's an importance with family. Mm-hmm. There's some companies don't make that jump from first generation to second, but here you are, second to third, mm-hmm. and maybe I don't know what the plan is for the fourth. But why has that been a hallmark of this company?
I really give the second generation a lot of credit. So my grandfather founded the company. Both of my uncles, my mom's two older brothers, provided leadership in the company. Then it is, you know, really quite an honor for me to, you know, not only now be the third generation CEO for the company my grandfather started, but to be my mom's successor. You know, that's really mm-hmm. special to me. And you know, we really, when I was still in school, in high school, that second generation put a lot of effort into thinking through how transitions would go in family leadership within the company, and had a family employment policy, and I followed that, and my sister who works in the company followed that, and my cousin who worked in the company for a period of time followed that, and you know, we'll just continue to follow that policy. We've continued to refine it, and you know, we really just have a culture within our family that the pride that we have for Vermeer is off the mm-hmm. charts, and we want to do the right thing for Vermeer. And if people are, you know, passionate and have, you know, the skills and desires to contribute to Vermeer in a full-time role, there'll be opportunities. But you don't have to feel pressured to do it. And if you do desire it, we do have a pathway to make it possible.
Your path went in a very interesting path. I can't say I've talked to many people who've worked at NASA. That's where you ended up. What was that a dream of yours as a Pella kid that said, I want to work at NASA someday?
You know, once again, that ended up being more of a kind of an evolution where I knew going to college that I would work outside the company before mm-hmm. eventually coming back to work for the company. I always assumed I would come back to work for Vermeer, but I decided to major in engineering, assuming that I would eventually come back to work for Vermeer, and started thinking, you know, what would be an interesting thing to do as an engineer for a period of time before coming back to Vermeer. And at first I thought something related to aviation, and then that kind of morphed into something related to space. And I was completely infatuated with space for a period of time and still very interested in it. And co-opted at Johnson Space Center as an undergrad, and then went to MIT and did research for the Air Force, the space side of the Air Force while I was at MIT. And then for 4 years worked for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
All fascinating backgrounds. I want to go back to your family a little bit in the evolution of the business. Do you think that your grandfather ever went through something like the last year and a half in how COVID presented itself and then everything else that's fallen out of that. I mean, how has life been for you since March to now?
My grandfather definitely dealt with challenges while he was directly involved at Vermeer. My uncles and my mom did. The dot-com bubble bursting in the late 90s, early 2000s was a massive challenge for Vermeer. But yet, this sort of COVID leading into the supply chain challenge is something that's unprecedented. In the last quarterly meeting that we had for our team members at Vermeer, I said, we can't even look back and say it's not been this bad in 10 years or 20 years. It's never been this bad. So, we've been around for 73 years, and the supply chain challenges have never been this challenging. And, our suppliers are doing the best they can. We're having very transparent, straightforward conversations with them. It's just a matter of COVID caused companies to pull back, and instead of demand for goods tapering back, it actually accelerated, and we've been playing catch up ever since. And very much driven by workforce shortages. And the other thing, which is kind of hard to get your mind around, is you may have 95% of the components to build a machine, but it's not done until you have 100%. And so you have 95% of what you need, and you're waiting on that 5%, and that 5% keeps changing. It's not consistent. What is that final 5% that you need to finish a machine? And those are the challenges that our supply chain team are working on, literally not daily, but hourly, trying to make sure that we're getting the components in that we need.
That 5%, is there any, you talk about it shifting and evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever a part where you've said, well, why can't we just do that 5%? Because is Vermeer one of those companies that you didn't make everything here, you would bring in some supplies? Like, a lot of the bigger ones have done that now. They don't make everything in-house that they used to. So have you had a discussion where you've said, well, maybe we're going to have to start doing some of these things ourselves?
We have had some of those discussions. It's interesting, with regards to doing work with sheets of steel, we're actually quite vertically integrated as it is. We do a lot of our own bending, machining, turning, welding, a lot of the operations that have to do with the steel that makes up our equipment. And it's ironic, even though the price of steel has gone up like crazy, we have really not had significant challenges with regards to steel. But when we think of some of the other components, it's not as easy as just thinking that we're going to make them, because our suppliers have supply chain constraints. So if we decided that we were going to do what this supplier is doing, suddenly we would have the supply chain challenges that they already have. Mm-hmm. And we would have to cobble together a supply chain to overcome what we decided to do ourselves. And chips are a good example, and I think most of your listeners probably are aware of the chip shortages and how that's affecting automotive and trucks. Well, if we wanted to try to procure our own chips for controllers, we don't have the economy of scale that some other manufacturers do. So we're just constantly trying to figure out how to mitigate the challenges and optimize what we can do at Vermeer, and the challenge just keeps morphing and changing.
What's been the biggest frustration in all of this?
The biggest frustration has been that we have massive demand out there for Vermeer products. We have the facilities to build those products. We actually have the team members to build those products, and we can't get the supply in to build them. So you have huge demand, you have the facilities to do it, you've got the team to do it, and you just can't get in all the components you need to build the full machines. If we instantly had all the supply that we need, then we would instantly need to hire a lot more people. And we're really tailoring the rate at which we hire people based on trying to make sure we can keep work in front of those team members. So that's the biggest challenge, is just knowing that customers are going to wait months to get their hands on a piece of Vermeer equipment that they need. And we desperately want to build it faster, and we just can't.
On the employment side of this mm-hmm. issue, there's all these discussions of, I can't find workers, I can't yeah. find workers. You can find them, but you're saying that it's maybe okay that you haven't been able to build at your normal scale, because are you telling me that are you having a little challenge sometimes finding workers?
Yeah, oh, definitely. We have great, high-paying jobs at Vermeer, and, you know, we're working our tails off to find the people to fill those jobs, and we're not alone. You drive around Pella, and it seems like pretty much every business in Pella has a sign, help wanted. And, you know, I get the impression that's pretty much the case mm-hmm. Throughout the state of Iowa and honestly around the country. And so, you know, we know we have these great opportunities for team members, but, you know, the number of jobs just far outstrips the number of people that are looking for jobs right now. So because the supply chain is for us an even greater constraint, and, you know, once again, when we have discussions with our suppliers, you know, why can't you keep up? For them, number one is always workforce. And you know, it also might be their suppliers that are a constraint. But, you know, so fundamentally, the challenge is workforce. And at Vermeer, if we suddenly were completely over our supply chain issues, then we would have to hire even more aggressively than we are. We're hiring aggressively, and yet at the same time, you know, we know that right now our constraint is the supply chain.
Well, and your workers, to finish that point, if I'm somebody who's been here 20 years and the new person gets hired at a different rate, higher than me, you have to adjust that as well. And
oh,
so
for
that's
sure.
always a constant
oh, for sure.
thing that happens in manufacturing.
Yeah, and, you know, we definitely wouldn't have somebody
right.
who's been here for 20 years and hire a new person at a, you know, higher. But, you know, pay scales are going up, and honestly, that's great. You know, it's wonderful that that's the case. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, everybody is having to continuously adjust.
Your company is becoming more nationwide. You've got points
oh, yeah.
in other spots, and in two of them caught my attention in the South, in the region
mm-hmm.
where they're at. They're in the hurricane zones.
Yeah.
I heard you give an interview recently where you said, we normally stock our equipment in a certain spot, kind of as like a launching point, a
yeah.
go point. Have you been able to do that this year?
No, and that has been another challenge. You know, so far there has been, you know, a couple hurricanes that have hit the United States and caused damage, and it's not easy to kind of build up a stock that can be immediately deployed after a hurricane, but we like to try. And, you know, this year that has been more challenging than ever before. And so a hurricane strikes, our dealer will inform us of how much equipment they think that they will need to help mm-hmm. and support and, you know, get into the hands of their customers to do this work. And we can't supply to them and they can't supply to their customers. So it's something that we take pride in at Vermeer is, you know, when there's a natural disaster, a derecho in Iowa, a tornado or hurricane, an ice storm, you know, whatever it might be, that, you know, we like to be able to jump to that opportunity and, you know, be part of the solution in cleaning up. And this year that's been more challenging than ever.
And I'd also imagine you're trying to be in areas where neighborhoods are expanding because of growth, whether
yeah.
it's in Iowa or other metros across the country, especially in the South. I mean, I think of Arizona and California and Nevada that have had huge population growths. You probably are trying to get equipment there to help get neighborhoods built, and you can't supply it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And typically, every time a new neighborhood is built, there's quite a bit of underground installation of utilities, water, sewer, electrical, fiber optic, and, you know, that's the wheelhouse of Vermeer's utility part of our business, the infrastructure part of our business, and we have, you know, massive backlogs in that part of our business, and everybody that provides that type of equipment has significant backlogs. And then a new neighborhood will also involve quite a bit of landscaping and et cetera. And Vermeer has a part of our business that's really affiliated with that. So, you know, we are excited and happy and proud to be able to do that work and, you know, are really limited, just like everybody is, you know, in the United States, to supply the products that we want to supply and that we have months of backlog to supply to get those into our customers' hands to do the great work that Vermeer products do.
The chip is the big story. Now it's resin, or before it was white dress shirts. Whatever it is, is the big hang-up for certain things. What has been the biggest hang-up for, give me two products that have been a challenge for you, maybe before and after, you know, as you talk about the evolving 5%.
Yeah, and it, once again, it keeps changing. So at times it feels like, you know, maybe hydraulic componentry is our number one issue. At times it feels like wiring harnesses are our number one issue. Engines, components that go into track systems, hoses for radiators and other hydraulic componentry. So it honestly, it just keeps changing. But at the same time, you know, once again, you know, I feel as though our suppliers are, you know, doing the best that they can to, you know, get the workforce they need to try to plan for it, to try to accommodate us. We have very constructive and transparent and straightforward conversations. It's just when the pandemic broke, everybody kind of pulled back, and we've been playing catch up ever since. And for a while, it felt like we were not too far away from starting to eat into our backlog, and now the past few months it's gone, you know, the wrong direction again, where our ability to build to meet demand just keeps falling farther behind. And we're not alone in that. You know, we know from other manufacturers in Iowa and around the country, we're all in the same boat. It's all over the news, but yeah, it's just frustrating when you know customers are desperate to get their hands on a new piece of equipment, and they've got months of backlog.
When the chairman of the board calls and says, "What is going on over there?" When you see her number pop up, does she come up as mom or does she come up as chairman on your phone?
Not chairman. So, but yeah, you know, my mom's been through plenty of challenges in her career at Vermeer.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, is she glad that she's, and to an extent, I mean, yes, she's still involved with the company, but is she okay? She hates to see her children struggle. I mean, your sister and you, but know that, wow, you're really going through a lot.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel as though, you know, my mom, my uncles, you know, they recognize just the unprecedented nature of the challenges that are going on right now. And, you know, honestly, through it all, you know, Vermeer is actually still up year over year, over last year's record year. So, you know, we are still growing. But the fact of the matter is, we've just never seen backlogs of this level. Mm-hmm. And you know, once again, it's the frustration of having most of what you need and being held up by just a few different components. And those components keep changing. It's a moving target.
All right, last question. And this one is, you got the magic wand. Where are you putting the magic wand to solve this supply chain? What would solve it, and what's a timetable?
The magic wand would be workforce. If suddenly every one of our suppliers in the supply chain had all the team members that they need to do the work that's in front of them, that would be the number one thing that would solve it. You can certainly move on to you know, the logistics challenges, which also is constrained by workforce, mm-hmm. the issues at the ports, which is constrained by workforce, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the one thing that would solve it most rapidly is if every company looking for employees had those team members.
All right. Jason, I appreciate the time. Thank you so very much.
It's a pleasure.
All right. That's Jason Andringa, the CEO of the Vermeer Corporation based in Pella, Iowa.
That will do it for this installment of the podcast. My thanks to Jason for his time here at Vermeer. Again, if you have any feedback, markettomarket@iowapbs.org or me, paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. Thank you so very much for watching or listening. New episodes of this podcast drop each and every Tuesday.